These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruins will roll it out to center ice with three. And the horn sounds here at the Bell Center. Yaroslav Halak and the Bruins skunk the Canadiens 4-0. For the Bruins, they've won 2 of 3 against the Habs this year, improved to 18-12-4, and hop over the Montreal Canadiens in the Atlantic Division standings with tonight's victory. Montreal falls to 17-12-5.
All right, let's suck a little pucks, eh? From the Town Fair Tire Studio again, Felger and Maz, 98.5 Sub Simulcast. Across this great land of ours in these United States. On NBC Sports Boston, no Felger, no Maz. You get me, Jim Murray, with Adam Jones all week long. Marshall Hook is alongside as well. Nice little bounce back for the Bees last night on the road against the hated Montreal Canadiens, 4-0. Felt like, you know, a 10-zip type of shutout. I mean, that game felt like it was pretty much in hand after the Joakim Nordstrom first goal to really start it off. I thought Charlie McAvoy played his best game of the season thus far. But considering their previous two games, the ugly loss to Buffalo, who is far and away a much better team than they are right now, or at least more talented, and the loss in Pittsburgh on Friday, a nice little comeback for them last night.
No, look, I think that they deserve full marks for that win, no matter whether or not the Canadiens are playing great, and they're not. I mean, they started the year great.
A lot of bad giveaways, and you saw more last night.
Yeah, and whether or not that's a good team or not, anytime you have to go up to the Bell Center and win there, especially when you're shorthanded, and you do it convincingly, and I would agree with you, Jim, they had the game wrapped up early. You know, Nordstrom gets the goal, the Bruins pile on another one in the second period, and from there, I mean, what was it, 46 seconds, 45 seconds into the third period, Krejci makes it 3-0, and like, the game's over. The game is over, you've taken the crowd out of it. So they deserve full credit anytime you do that. And I agree that McAvoy was excellent in that game last night. He had shaky performances going back to the Buffalo game over the weekend, the game prior, a couple of primary assists in that game last night. So, look, the Bruins need him to start elevating his game because it hadn't been good since he had come back, especially those two most recent games. So, you know, the way they went up there and played, the way he played specifically, I think are two very positive things for the team, sure.
So I listen to the Adam Jones Show intermittently, like when I'm in my car, like after working out or going to run an errand.
That's
like
how most do it.
I listen every single night, all five hours straight through.
That's how most do it. You can't listen to the whole five. You'll drive yourself to, you know, some dark things.
I'm just trying to be honest. I'll tell you what, during the baseball season, I'm like usually getting my full fours or fivesies with the Jones Show. But it's tough, especially when you're preempted by Bruins or Celtics during the season. So where are you with this team as a whole? Like, what are your expectations?
Poor cell blows.
Are you, because they've been so injured, because, you know, it sounds like Bergeron's going to be coming back. If you heard that from Hook in the headlines, he's at least maybe going to practice with the team tomorrow in their home Thursday against the Ducks. Like, are your expectations lowered because of all the injuries? Almost kind of an afterthought to you?
No, my expectations have already been a little low with the team because you're not better than Tampa or Toronto, right? So I already felt that way in the offseason. You're definitely not better than Tampa Bay. They are arguably the best team in the entire league. So you're definitely not better than them. I don't think you're better than Toronto when they stole away the guy that you wanted in the offseason and they pushed you last year. I don't think you're better than that team. So already what? You're probably getting knocked out in the first round anyway with the way that the playoffs are structured. Maybe you get on the Metropolitan side as a second wild card or something like that, or one of the two wild cards. But that's the division that's won the last three cups. I don't know if that's a great road over there either. So I was already a little down on them. Then the way Buffalo's played, and maybe they can't sustain it. They had a 10-game win streak. They fell back to the pack a little bit. Now they're playing better again. The way Buffalo's playing, it makes me feel, you know, even a little more down on this team. Like, you thought last year they had all the young guys. Maybe they were a little too young, as some would say, too young to really get it done. But at least there was some promise there with the young players they have. Not only does it feel like another young team passed them by, Eichel and Skinner specifically with Buffalo, and I think Skinner's a fair second guess for Sweeney if we want to get to it, but most of the young guys here, including McAvoy before last night, have either plateaued or gone the wrong direction. So yeah, I'm a little down on them.
Did you miss the Colby Cave goal last night, Jones?
I did see that Colby Cave goal last night. He had another setup too. So sure, those are the kind of guys that, you know, organizational depth, I guess that's nice. You have a nice night, but the young guys you were really counting on, maybe DeBrusk has been okay and reached expectations. I think every other guy pretty much hasn't. And that doesn't bode well for their future, obviously.
I'm with you in that they're not close to Tampa Bay, Toronto. I do think, they should still win despite the injuries. If they play the way that they played last night, whereas, they're right on top of the puck from Jump Street in the beginning of that game. But they can play like last night, and I do think that they're extremely well coached, and a game like last night proves that, as diminished as they've been in terms of all these injuries. They should still be able to win a round, that first round, and I do expect that.
Do you?
I do.
What if they get Toronto in the first round, you're picking the Bruins? Like if they're the number three seed in the Atlantic?
Well, no. This is where this odd little balance has to play here, because, I want them to be good but not too good.
Fine. So then they're a wild card team. Who's the top team in the Metro? Columbus? Has Washington played their way up there? Like, are you picking them against any of those teams?
Well, not Washington, because they can't win there, and that's absolutely
Washington and Columbus are the top two. So if somehow you got Columbus, fine, but if you're a wild card team and you somehow got on the Metro side, you're getting Washington.
Yeah, well, I expect a competitive series. How about that? If you can get the type of play that you saw last night where, strong forechecking, at least they play with some stones, right? I think you're going to get a competitive first-round series and potentially an upset, especially if you're getting good goaltending from Halak and Rask as well. But if Halak overall to me has been the better goaltender.
You see the Halak thing the other day where, and he played great last night. He had the shutout. He wasn't tested a lot, but he didn't let in any goals. You see how he blew off the media the other night, a couple of nights ago?
In Pittsburgh?
Was that the last game he started? Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Or was that a Rask game? Whichever the last game he started, didn't meet with the media after that game.
Oh, I didn't see this, no.
Yeah.
Huh. A
little bitchiness from the Halak Nest monster, yeah. Mm.
Well, either way, I thought it was a nice win for them tonight. We wanted to appease you, the Bees fan. If you have any thoughts on last night's game, let's hear from you. 617-779-0985. Because I, unlike Jones, can't dabble in all things darkness for now what would be going on 7 straight hours. We'll continue to talk about the Pats, and I do want to get to some of the Tom Brady, Jim Gray interview from last night, but we'll do that mostly in the 5 o'clock hour. I just want to have this be like a bit of a respite in terms of some Bruins talk and some Celtics stuff going on with them as well. As they're just quickly on them, their last loss. It's a good thing that the Patriots ended up having a bit of a stinker on Sunday, because the Celtics lost to an inferior team that was on a 6-game losing streak in Detroit with the Pistons.
And they lost again last night, the Pistons. So the Celtics are the only team that they could beat, apparently. The Pistons lost to the Bucks again last night. So, yeah, they are lucky. And, it's Tuesday or Monday and Tuesday after a Patriots game. Maybe the Celtics would have flown under the radar anyway. But I guess everything's not magically fixed. And when they played the Pistons or after that game, that was the only team they had faced in this whole long win streak that the Celtics had with a winning record. So that's kind of weird how that worked out, right? I know they lost last night, and now they're back to 500, but that's kind of weird how they worked out. Maybe it speaks a little bit more to the teams they've had to play than the Celtics really, truly figuring anything out.
God, he's in his happy place.
His
happy place is such a dark, deep hole.
They're 5th in the Eastern Conference. Right, and people are like, well, they're exactly what we expected them to be. I thought they'd be the best team in the East by far. Okay. And they're number 5 in the Eastern Conference. They haven't figured out squat.
You didn't think that at any level that they would need to... I mean, because basically Gordon Hayward's an addition to the team. He didn't play last year.
Uh-huh.
And any time you put two superstars or stars...
I don't know. 0708 figured it out. They figured it out real quick. Maybe they're the exception to the rule, but I thought this team could do that.
I think he's exactly... I think they were exactly that, the exception to the rule. And I think you've seen plenty of teams that take time to gel together.
How long has it taken Toronto to figure it out with Kawhi?
More than all of that.
Kawhi.
The fact that they are 8-1 in their last 9, and you're just going to focus very, very hard on that one, that's the Adam Jones.
It's the last one they played. What do you want from me?
I understand.
It was a bad loss hook, but again, I think you've realized this. I mean, you've been dubbed Take NATO. You're a guy that's pretty negative. I am too.
Yeah, Hook, what happened to you?
Well, this is the thing, though. Jimmy Stewart, it's not us. It's who we're with here. This is Sports Talk Bane we're sitting with here. Oh, Joe, Take NATO. You thought darkness was...
This is why teams hate you, Jones.
And I was born in it, molded by it.
Again, no, I understand. It takes a long time for teams to come together. Like the Raptors this year. They've been the best team in the East all year, working in Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, no, it took the Raptors a long time.
Who's the other half of Kawhi Leonard, by the way? Who's the other big star in Toronto?
Who else are the Celtics working in?
You've got Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward.
They had Kyrie Irving last year.
Hook.
Yeah, that's great, but Gordon Hayward wasn't there last year. He wasn't, except for 5 minutes. Did they do a lot of gelling in the first 5 minutes of the season?
Kawhi and DeRozan got to figure it out. Okay. Or excuse me, Lowry, rather, have to figure it out.
All right, very good.
Denny Green was the second addition to the Raptors that people forget about.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's touch on the Celtics.
So they added 2 stars, and they figured it out.
Adrian Wojnarowski called the Celtics Hawks.
Your light's on hook. Go.
Should we stop back there? Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, NBA insider, has called the Celtics Hawks. Hawks. Mm. Why? We'll tell you next here on Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boston has been hawking Anthony Davis for years. They always hoped that it would be, whether it's the end of this season or beginning of next before the trade deadline, that they would gather up all those assets, all those picks Danny Ainge has, young players, and they'd be the team to be able to get Anthony Davis. But now you have LA, and if they get shut out in free agency, they're going to have to take all their young players. Try to use them to get,
or even if
Anthony
they don't.
Davis.
I mean, their home run scenario is again right. Sign someone and then and they're going to be teams that come out of the woodwork because it's Anthony Davis. And with apologies to the Pelicans, like Alfred Payton's a nice player. If your case for keeping Anthony Davis hinges on Elfrid Payton's health, you have not made it.
There's no deal that's coming here for New Orleans where Anthony Davis looks and says, "Hey, I think I can win a championship here." If he stays with the Pelicans, it's going to be because of 5 years, $235 million. That will be the reason he stays. They cannot cobble together at this point. They can make the team better, but to honestly say we're a championship, I can see a championship contender here, they won't be. It reminds me a lot of KG in Minnesota at the end there.
This is the ultimate test of the Supermax. This is what it was made for. This is why the owners wanted to put it in, to give a small market team
right.
Such a leg up that a player this good could not say no. And right now,
players keep passing on it.
I would predict, if you asked me to right now, I would predict he turns it down.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Murray and Jones in for the guys today and the rest of this week. So that's ESPN Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski sitting around dishing like a couple of gals over a cup of coffee. And it was Adrian Wojnarowski that started that by saying that the Celtics have been hawking Anthony Davis for years. Hawking Davis for years. Okay. So, you know, there it is.
Yeah.
Danny Ainge trying to swoop into New Orleans. Where is he? Ah, I want him. What do you want from me? What bad assets can I give you for Anthony Davis?
Will you take Terry Rozier and Gershon Yabusele for him?
foiled again. Obviously, look, we're not going to go through the stupid permutations of the stupid Rose rule and why this isn't going to happen this year in terms of the trade. And I know, well, you know, if Kyrie Irving were to sign his deal now, but it's not going to happen. It's not fiscally responsible for him to do that. More than anything else, you know what I find interesting about this, Jones, is that, okay, we were blue in the face about Anthony Davis and the Celtics going after him for a little while now, but that's died down locally. Especially after the whole thing, well, when we find out, okay, it can't happen this year because of the Rose Rule thing. Nationally, this continues to be a thing. Like, the Celtics in on Anthony Davis, hawking Anthony Davis for years. I had kind of resigned myself. Yes, there's Danny Ainge, the hawk again, coming in. How about I give you Terry Rozier and the bad Sacramento pick? Is that enough, eh?
Daniel Tice?
Pick a red claw. Any red claw. They're delicious, those lobsters. It seems like... So, like, I kind of resigned myself, especially since Davis had switched agents, and now he's with LeBron's, you know, LeBron's team that he's... LeBron's agency or whatever it is. Like, okay, he's just going to the Lakers. It's done and over. No, this still feels like this is a real thing. And again, it's funny. I just think it's now an afterthought to so many people locally because we feel like it's not going to happen. At least, again, that's what I've resigned myself to. Nationally, it feels like the Celtics, no, they still want to try to make this a possibility to get Anthony Davis next offseason.
Well, so I think they can get him, obviously. You know, I think they have the assets to, in other words. But, you know, Celtics fans, you need to ask yourself, and Danny Ainge would need to ask himself, or fans would need to ask themselves whether or not Danny Ainge would do a deal involving, if not Tatum, then Jaylen Brown. Because if I'm New Orleans, I'm not doing the deal without either one of those two guys. And even if you could figure out a way to get that done without, let's say, Jaylen Brown in the deal, Well, then the Lakers, to me, really do come into the picture because the Lakers have better assets beyond those two. Like, if you're not going to give up Tatum or Brown to get Anthony Davis, then the Lakers are going to offer Kuzma and Hart and Ingram, and I don't know that any of those guys individually are better than Brown. They're certainly not better than Tatum. So if you're not going to give up your guys to get Anthony Davis, he will go to the Lakers. And I don't think they need to wait for him in free agency. They can go get him.
Do you really think they wouldn't give up Brown? Like, I can see them not wanting to give up Tatum. Do you really think they wouldn't give up Brown?
1,000,000,000% would. Like, I would give up Jaylen Brown. I was not super high on Brown in the draft, and I was wrong about that. He's a better player than I ever thought he would be coming into the league. But I'm still not crazy about him. I 1,000,000,000% would give him up. I'm not totally sold that Danny would.
See, I feel like Jason Tatum's one thing and Jaylen Brown's a definitive different thing. Like, I know a lot of people put them together as the two young Jays and all of that. I feel like Brown is in a completely different place than Tatum. And if you're talking about Anthony Davis, I have a real hard time believing that Danny Ainge would not do that. Now, if it's both of the guys, which is what some people have talked about, both those guys.
Yeah, no way.
No, that's not happening. But if you've got a deal headlined with Brown and a pick, I think that I don't see. I would have a hard time with the Celtics not making that deal.
I kind of like hearing that he would pass on the Supermax, because that's like, you know, that's easy money, right? To stay in New Orleans, $235 million over 5 years. Like, that's the easiest route for him to become an extremely wealthy man. But to hear those two, you know, dishing like a couple of gals, and it was Zach Lowe saying, I think he would pass that up. Okay, that shows there is some fire there. He wants to play on a competitive team, because New Orleans, them winning around last year, like after that happened, I was like, well, you know what? They're actually seemingly building something there. Jrue Holiday actually had a hell of a postseason, at least in that first round, their sweep of the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know, he's not going to end up going anywhere. It's a couple of years off anyway. He's going to be staying put. No, Pelicans, not that great this year. He seemingly wants out, so it just feels like it is going to be a coin flip between either Boston or L.A., and I think everything's on the table for Danny Ainge. Again, to hear this now and this continued talk from these NBA insiders and these guys that cover the league nationally, I think Tatum, Brown, whoever, it would really be on the table.
You think Danny Tatum Ainge would be available? Interesting.
I do.
So I
wouldn't. I don't want to give up Jason Tatum.
At the end of the day, if New Orleans goes, hey, you can have Anthony Davis, but you have to part with Tatum, I would be shocked if they would. I would. I'm not even sold they would give up Jaylen Brown in that kind of deal, because I do think they covet young players on cheap deals. Maybe Jimmy can correct me on this. I don't know. But I'm not sold they'd give up either. And I still feel that while it's taking longer than I thought for LeBron in L.A., and it's not like their record's bad or anything, but I don't feel like they're, from a talent standpoint, truly a contender yet. They're fourth in the West, which is higher than the Celtics are in the East. Oh, by the way, LeBron's 18-12 in the Lakers in the Western Conference. A lot of people made it sound like LeBron's throwing in the towel and he's going out there to act in movies and be a part of the social scene, which I think is accurate, but the Lakers was not a dumb basketball decision. Like, they have a lot of young talent. They'll be able to attract a free agent at some point. And if they can pool that young talent together to go trade for someone, they can turn that around real, real quick. And I think Anthony Davis is an option for both those avenues, either in free agency or even earlier in a trade. And they don't have to wait out a Rose rule.
Yeah, but for Woj, again, to say this,
Boston has been hawking Anthony Davis for years.
I mean, typically Danny Ainge, okay, you know.
Did he use that even close to
no,
right?
No, I was going to say, it's the other way around. If you're hawking something, you're the guy who's trying to sell it.
Right?
Well, I'm out there hawking Anthony Davis. I'm trying to get somebody to buy him.
You know what I think happened? I think he just misspoke on the podcast, and then they're like, yeah, no, but I meant it the other. I meant like he was like a hawk. Like, maybe, is that what he meant?
Woj.
Yeah, like a hawk would, you know, a hawk would stalk its prey. Okay. That's what he means. It's like a hawk. Yeah, he just used.
He's not hawking it like maybe, watches out on.
Maybe choose a different bird of prey that doesn't already have a meaning in the real world.
Yeah, Danny Ainge is trying to vulture Anthony Davis from the
Pelicans. He's been eagling Anthony Davis a lot.
He's probably afraid of my lawyers. I was going to move in quickly if he uses
it. But again, I hear that again from someone that's plugged in like Adrian Wojnarowski hawking Anthony Davis. He's lusting for this player. This is why I think he is willing to basically do whatever it takes to try to get him.
Here's what I will say about the NBA, because we hear a lot in all four sports. This guy is definitely going there, right? And, you know, choose in baseball, it happens all that. Manny Machado is going to be a Yankee. And frequently, it doesn't actually happen in those three other sports. But it seems to me in the NBA, when you hear about a guy going to a place for more than, you know, a month or two, oftentimes, it doesn't happen every time. Kevin Love never became a Celtic, but a lot of the times when you hear it over and over again in the NBA, it seems to happen. So well, I give it more credit just because it's happening in this sport.
Especially with clutch sports guys, right? Like you referenced earlier, when he's signing on with LeBron's agency, that seems like it's letting you know what direction it's going.
Jimmy Stewart, who's had his inside sources with the Celtics over the years, in fact, invited me to go to tomorrow night's game, which I can't. Were those floor seats?
Could have been sitting behind the Celtics bench, sir, Murray.
I thought I saw floor two, I believe, on those tickets on his phone.
What do they call that area?
Stewarttown.
Yeah. Stewarttown. What are you hearing on this? Are they still in on Anthony Davis? Are they hawking Anthony Davis?
They consistently have been. I said at the time that at the NBA trade deadline last year, 2 days before the deadline, they stopped on Tyreke Evans to go talk to New Orleans about Anthony Davis and start that conversation. What people don't understand is with the NBA, a lot of this stuff is done long before it ever does. I'm of the belief that they were in on Kyrie Irving before the NBA draft the year that they acquired him. That's how long it takes sometimes to make this type of deal.
So they were also hawking Kyrie, eh? Okay.
And that's part of the reason why they traded down from Fultz to Tatum and so on and so on.
In terms of any moves realistically that could be made between now and the trade deadline, where are you with Terry Rozier with this team?
I don't think he's got any value in the league right now.
I could see that. I mean, well, considering he's on an expiring contract too, like, you know, any team would.
Like, if you were to get a late first round pick for him, you'd be lucky. So you're better off keeping him.
See, maybe from a value standpoint, but.
Because you need Kyrie Irving insurance.
Doesn't he kind of clog things up a little bit? Or don't they, in my opinion, they need to subtract someone from the rotation. Like, I'm not looking to add. If I trade Rozier, we get asked all the time.
It's for future assets?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. I don't want a player. Like, we get asked, would you add this guy or that guy in a trade for Rozier?
Then when Kyrie Irving gets hurt, which he will, then you're into the Brad Wanamaker era.
Okay, but then if Irving gets hurt, you're already screwed.
Well, you should be able to overcome it because you have Horford and Hayward as well as Tatum and Brown.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't think.
You should at least be in game seven like you were last year.
I don't know about that.
Why? Because Toronto is going to crap themselves in the playoffs. Due.
I mean, maybe. I like
the one guy that's always stopped them in the playoffs is no longer in the East. And yeah. The team looks
I mean,
like
that's true. I mean, it's not LeBron as a hurdle. That's true. And I guess you have Hayward now, but he's a bench player. And you want to talk about guys who were hurt? Horford's hurt.
Oh, and he's hurt. Yeah, it could be a long-term issue.
So you're saying that there's something more than the tendonitis in the knee there, Jay Stu?
I feel like Horford's been on a decline, and I think it's health-related. I think his knees are banged up worse than maybe we're aware of.
Feel or believe?
It's more of a feel.
Okay, more of a feel. I see someone wants to protect those floor seats he has for tomorrow night's game. Against the Phoenix
Suns. They could digitally revoke them.
I know that they can't. Where'd they go? My floor seats.
No! He's been hawking floor seats.
All right, anything Bruins related in the as it pertains to last night's win over Montreal? And, of course, Danny Ainge hawking Anthony Davis with the Pelicans, continuing to hawk. How about the Time Lord straight up for Anthony Davis? You see that block on him? That seems like a fair deal. Ha! Here I come, swooping into New Orleans. I'll grab some beignets from Café Du Monde while I'm here. We'll take those calls on anything Bruins Celtics related and get back to the Pats as well. And Tom Brady getting grilled. I can't believe some of this stuff. If you haven't heard some of the audio of Tom Brady getting straight up grilled by his friend, or maybe no friend no more, Jim Gray, last night during Monday Night Football. We'll get to that coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Marshall Hook. It's Felger and Maz with Jim Murray and Adam Jones here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boston has been hawking Anthony Davis for years.
How about Brad Wanamaker straight up for Anthony Davis? Who could say no? Ah! I don't know how much of a hawk
I like your Time Lord idea.
Danny Ainge is.
He swatted him the other day. Didn't you see? He was blocking Anthony's the new Anthony Davis. How about the Time Lord?
I don't think that'll work. You into that nickname, by the way?
I don't think it's mean enough. Too many people are like, oh, it's such a cruel nickname. How are you going to call him that? Isn't that why Danny wants him to change it? Right? It's too mean. Let's call him Lob Williams instead. I don't think it's mean enough. The guy couldn't show up on time to the first press conference after he got drafted. Then he was missing out on other events. He should be grilled about being late, and it should be much meaner than the Time Lord. That sounds too cool and too nice.
Do you have one that comes to mind?
I should work a little
FCC
harder on that.
Compliant.
Yeah, no, right. Not that we could say, well, maybe in the safe harbor later tonight. Not
yeah,
now.
Stupid.
Yeah.
That, of course, again, was Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN on the Zach Lowe podcast saying that Danny Ainge and the Celtics have still continued to hawk Anthony Davis for years. Scares me every time I hear it. Is that John Wallach in the building again? Felger and Maz, 98.5 is sports.
Of course, he would be an eagle, not a hawk.
Oh, that's right, Jimmy. That's correct.
Low ball, too.
It's Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for Felger and Maz today and the rest of the week. So some Celtics thoughts and Bruins thoughts. We want to hear from you at 617-779-0985. George in Boston on the potential trade for Anthony Davis. Go ahead. You're next here on Felger and Maz.
And I think you give up everyone on this team except Kyrie and Tatum to get Anthony Davis. I will drive everyone personally to Logan Airport for Anthony Davis to come here. Secondly, I think that LeBron plays a big part in this because LeBron is only the guy. Anthony Davis' agent isn't only LeBron's agent; he's their best friend. He plays a big part in that because LeBron has his own history with the Celtics and the Lakers and the Celtics are rivals. So that's what scares me about this. I'll hear your thoughts.
Thanks for the call, George. Again, when I hear this, is just my thought on it. Is that when I hear hawking and it's been for years? Knowing the deals that. And how bullish that Danny Ainge has been in the past when he wants a player. I think just about everything's on the table. So when I hear that, I still think, okay, that means he's still even willing to trade Jason Tatum, who's dipped a little bit this year, but you can still see the potential. And I would hate to see that.
I don't think they'd trade Tatum for anything.
Would you?
No.
So even if the Pelicans were like, here, you can have him. You can have Anthony Davis, clear top five player in the league, MVP ceiling, you're adding him to what you already have. But the asking price is Tatum. You would not do that.
I wouldn't, no. And it has to do with the upside of Tatum and the potential injury downside of Davis. I'm not as bullish.
Yeah, that's
here's
scary.
My thing, and I feel like I'm an outlier on this or one of just a handful of people that are a little concerned about Davis. It's because of the injury history there. And a big with feet and ankle issues that he's had in the past, and he's been healthy the last season or so, a couple of seasons. But I don't know. A guy like that isn't long for this league. Eventually, those dudes break down.
That's fair. I would do it, but I like Tatum, and I understand why people wouldn't want to do that. And the injury thing is another consideration, but you don't often have the chance to get guys like that. I would do that.
Let's go to Pete in Delaware. You're next here on Felger and Maz. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. Really, I'm with you as far as Anthony Davis goes. I'm worried about the injuries, and I don't think you'll get him without giving up Tatum. And I wouldn't. To me, the championship roster would be Kyrie, Tatum, and Davis. The three of them fit together, in my opinion. And if you can't keep the three of them together, what's the point? Keep the younger guy. And by the way, Tatum, that guy is driving to the hoop. And when he drives to the hoop this year and he starting to figure it out, he's going to be unstoppable. The kid's wingspan and his athleticism, he's going to be pretty good. And, I just can't see giving up Tatum for Davis. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, if I have one complaint with Tatum's game, it's when, and I've liked seeing him be more aggressive, get to the hoop, it's that he looks for to get the call every single time, seemingly.
Yeah,
you're not a superstar yet, dude. That bothers me.
I got to be honest. I never noticed that till you guys pointed that out. And I don't know if it was you specifically, but I heard you talking about it.
He started doing it late last year, too, and you can't unsee it, Jones.
It's like Dave O'Brien's whistle. You can't, once you see it slash hear it, it's all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, he's arguing every call. He's arguing.
Oh God, what? Well, come on, dude, you're not Jordan, you're not LeBron, you're not going to get those calls. You might think that you are, and hey, he potentially could be. There's a lot of talent there, but not yet. Calm down. And that's something that I would like to see reined in by the head coach, right? Isn't that part of your job?
Well, gee willikers, Jason, why are you not going to get the call every time out there? Play ball. Gee willikers.
Going back to Saturday, I don't know how much you watched of the last time the Celtics played when they lost to the Pistons on Saturday. Again, a team that had lost six straight, by the way. That was pretty ugly. Marcus Morris kind of came back down to earth. That kind of sucked to see. But one thing in watching this team in terms of the second unit that I didn't really expect
to miss Shane Larkin. Like, the energy that he would bring at times, like, I don't know. I see when Brad Wanamaker's getting minutes, like, that's where I miss Shane Larkin. Because I think Wanamaker stinks.
But that, to me, is an issue. That's an issue with the guys that they had to put in the starting line. Like, you have plenty of Smart and Morris are great energy guys.
I guess, in other words, this is why another reason I find Rozier expendable. Like, you mentioned earlier, like, there's a glut, especially at that position. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And I think he's a potential problem, and I think he already has been because he wants more minutes, and he fancies himself a superstar because you people gave him the stupid nickname, and you bought his dumb shirts and all of that stuff. It was the whole IT treatment. Like, he got a big head. He's not as good as he thinks he is. Like, let's move on.
How's that lawsuit working out?
Right, yeah.
I'm guessing not well.
Probably not.
I haven't seen any updates on that, but it can't go well. They also have been able to plug in pretty much anyone at point guard, and this is a credit to Stevens.
Definitely.
Like, they've been able to plug in from, was it Jordan Crawford to Rozier to obviously high-level players like
he
Irving
took Isaiah
and
Thomas, a Jamoke in Phoenix, and made him a top-five NBA player.
Yeah, I like Isaiah more than you guys do, but whatever.
Obviously.
But, you know, whether it's Shane Larkin, like whoever they give that run to, it usually ends up working out. So I think Rozier is replaceable for sure. And I don't even want another guy in the rotation because I think, look, they played well with Horford out of the lineup. And they had played well prior to that with Brown out of the lineup. And they played well all last year with Hayward out of the lineup. I think it fits together a little easier for Brad when there's not, you know, 9, 10, 11 guys to play every night.
Mike and Wilburn, did you like that beatdown of the Canadiens last night?
That was glorious. It was awesome. That was fantastic, and the refs didn't lose sight of a puck resting on a goalie's chest like a discarded ding-dong, so that was also good as well. Listen, I don't know what you're smoking if you don't want this team to go through the Metropolitan Division, which is where they would end up right now if the season ended, because the lower-seeded team plays of the two wildcard teams plays the highest-seeded division winner in the conference. So Montreal, being the lowest seeded conference winner, would stay in this division, and they would get to face the meat grinder that is Toronto, Buffalo, who is absolutely resurgent, and Tampa. You know what? If I have to face Tampa, I'd rather do it after they face two rounds in the conference finals than facing them right out of the gate.
What makes you think they're getting by Washington?
Washington is coming off of a cup win. They played more hockey than anybody else. We've seen what happens to teams in the playoffs that have long seasons. I'm waiting for Ovechkin's hangover to kick in. It's going to happen at some point. You can't rage the way that guy's raged and not hit a skid at some point.
There's not always the cocaine, team. Mike.
there's not the same. There's not the same talent on that team. It's still a good, very good team. I'm not saying the Bruins win against the Capitals in a walk, but I'd rather face the Capitals and then have the prospect of an Islanders or
Columbus or
Tortorella coach team. Tortorella grinds his teams to a nub.
Yeah.
That's his MO. They compile points through, you know, killing themselves in the regular season and then peter out in the playoffs. And then the Pittsburgh team that the Bruins absolutely dominated, if it wasn't for Mark Jonette's incompetence, that would have won on what was it, Sunday? Was it Sunday or Friday?
Friday.
I forget. I'm losing. Friday. Okay. I much rather take my chances with the Capitals and then face whoever staggers out of the cage match that is the Atlantic than end up in that cage match themselves. Plus, you know what? All Sweeney has to do is get somebody to ride shotgun with Krejci. We've seen what Krejci can do now that he has two decent wings. We've seen it. Hopefully, DeBrusk can come back from the concussion and then bring Wayne Simmonds to Boston and stick him right there next to Krejci, and you have two decent lines and also a guy that can handle himself, so you don't have teams taking runs at people on this team like they have, despite what the lunch ladies in the media say about this team not needing an enforcer anymore.
I know you, and thanks for the call, Mike. I know you feel strongly about this, the Bruins potentially going after an enforcer.
Well,
Jones. Hold that thought. We'll get to that coming up because I want to hear from you on that. We have more phone calls. We got Brady with Jim Gray from last night. And how about this, folks? How about you get yourself $100 worth of Gold Fever wings and Viking-sized beers?
Ooh.
Only one place you can do that, and that's at the 99. I have a $100 gift card for you at the 99 coming up. All in our next segment, commercial-free, coming up here right after this
on Felger and Mass.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub, is our long commercial-free segment. The next 20 minutes or so, and in that time, touch on a myriad things from Tom Brady with Jim Gray, Jim the Bulldog Gray.
Oh yeah,
in their Westwood One interview last night during Monday
no
Night Football.
No namby pamby questions.
Answer the
none of that.
Answer the question, you son of a bitch. he was like an interrogator in a Rambo movie, putting out cigarettes in Brady's face.
Yeah, you like those lights in your eyes, Tom? Huh?
Answer me. Where are you hiding the nukes, Tom? So we'll get to that. We'll continue to take your phone calls, anything pertaining to the Bruins and the big win over the Montreal Canadiens last night. At least a nice bounce-back win for them.
Sure.
And, again, the Celtics, they've not stopped with Anthony Davis. They still have their sights. In fact, sounds like they're hawking Anthony. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, yes, Danny Ainge is hawking Anthony Davis, even though he can't trade for him because of the stupid Rose rule this year. Also, I see you. People.
Well, Murray, they actually could. They could trade Kyrie Irving as part of an Anthony Davis deal.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that, but they're not going
to get rid of him before he goes to the Knicks.
You keep harping on that. What do you know back there?
I don't know anything. Yeah. Sadly,
like, let me cash in those tickets first.
Someone starts talking, and all of a sudden, those tickets disappear off his phone.
What?
I had floor seats to see the Suns tomorrow night.
What do you mean it's in 301?
Yeah, I want to see DeAndre Ayton up close. Also,
so if Road 2 is Stewtown, I would say 301. That's Jones. That is my area up there.
No, they don't let you in the building. I was going to say that's how much they hate you.
That's true. They let me in on draft night. I was like, are you sure?
You get the Bobby Valentine glasses and mustache and you sneak in the back door.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Mario Jones.
What?
I'm just here to see the basketball. I also see you hawking this 99 restaurant gift card that I have. $100 gift card to the 99 coming up here in minutes. Don't start calling for it yet, you hawks. Okay, so real quick, based on Mike from Woburn's last phone call, he was talking about some of the things he wants to see the Bruins do, like go get Wayne Simmons from Philadelphia because they're blowing that whole thing up. He's a nice all-around player, but a bit of an enforcer, too. You want nothing to do with an enforcer on this team.
Well, I don't want anything to do with an enforcer only, which I would consider like a Sean Thornton type. And I know Bruins fans would say, oh, well, there was a lot more to his game. There really wasn't. Like, I don't need that kind of player.
Ryan Reeves with
Vegas.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't need that kind of player. And I thought that's what the Wagner kid was supposed to be for this team. So I don't understand what he does if that's not the role that he plays. What role exactly is he playing if that's not his role? Mm. So I don't think the Bruins need like a fourth line enforcer, but someone like Wayne Simmons, who is an all-around player and can hold his own and handle himself, that's fine. Like that, I'd be totally for that for the Bruins. And I can't believe we're at this point where they need help in the top six still. Like, we talked about it all offseason for the Bruins. What do they need? Well, they need a third line center, which they still don't have, and they need someone else in the top six for Krejci or potentially Bergeron and Marchand, if you'd ever move Pastrnak away from those two guys. And they still don't have it. Like, they still don't have it. It's obvious they need it. So maybe the Philadelphia fire sale is going to come at the right time. You know, I know Bruins fans, Mike and Woburn specifically, they've been hawking Wayne Simmons for a long period of time. So maybe that'll fall into place for the Bruins. That'd be great. But the enforcer-only idea, I think, is dumb. Like, get another guy out there with no skill who can't play? No, thank you.
Let's go to John in Newburyport, who wants to talk about the Celtics hawking Anthony Davis. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I think this trade will be great for the Boston Celtics. I think this will be perfect for Gordon Hayward. I think this will get him out of his shell a little bit.
Who are you trading exactly?
I think the trade will be Tatum and Brown for Anthony Davis.
Both. Okay.
I'm not a big Brown guy. I love Tatum. I don't want to see him go, but I think this trade would be good.
Well, certainly, yes. I mean, that goes without saying. Again, he's, when healthy, a top five player in
the NBA.
Would
it be good? Would Tatum and Brown in the same deal? That's no good.
Well, are we getting optimal Gordon Hayward? Yeah, I don't want to see Tatum moved in this deal, but I still think
I would move both. I'd move one or the other. I would not move both.
But if I'm New Orleans, I'm demanding both. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. I think you can get more out of L.A. in terms of, and ask if you're just, if
probably,
if Danny Ainge is only going to give up one.
I mean, I believe the Lakers would give up everything.
I do too.
Like, I believe that. So that is the danger of you know, trying to acquire a player that Magic Johnson and Pelinka are also in on while LeBron's actually calling the shots. Like, I think they'll throw everybody into the pot to get Anthony Davis. So yeah, that is dangerous.
I want to go to Will in Stoneham, who has a leftover thought with the Celtics' gross loss on Saturday to Detroit. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, guys, I was going to talk about that terrible loss, and I was going to talk about how the great lineup where we got the Marcuses, Kyrie, Rob Williams, and Tatum out there, you know, Marcus in the low post, Marcus Smart, can't stop him. But I guess I got to talk about this Anthony Davis thing now, because I think it's absolutely ludicrous. You cannot put Jason Tatum in any package. You can't do that. And the thought that New Orleans won't go to Hell's Gate to re-sign this guy is ludicrous. I'm not giving up Jason Tatum. I'm not giving up Kyrie. I mean, if anything, he's just going to walk to Los Angeles, but I think that's why they have the Rose Rule, so these small market teams can actually keep their franchise there. Imagine having Langston Galloway playing 38 minutes a night in New Orleans with no Anthony Davis. New Orleans would be floundering.
Well, the thing is, I mean, when he becomes a free agent, where he'll be eligible for that Supermax, he can say, no, I'm not signing here.
Right.
That's what this is about. And like, if they know ahead of time.
Look at how many stars have done that in the
right.
league. Look at how
the KG thing that happened with him, right? Is that was mentioned in the podcast? Why am I drawing blank here?
Well, no, they just kind of made the analogy to Kevin Garnett being like that kind of impact player moving at the deadline. But no, I mean, how many players have forced their team's hand? I mean, Kyrie just did it.
Well, right.
Like, so many teams have done that. Players have done that, rather.
So that's why they would be forced to end up having to move on from him and try to at least get some assets or a big, you know.
Or let him walk for nothing? Yeah. I think an organization like New Orleans, as the caller just laid out, you're either going to be playing Langston Galloway 38 minutes a night or you better get something for Anthony Davis. So it's easy to say the Pelicans will go over the moon to bring him back, but if he doesn't want to sign there, then they have to go to plan B, which is trading him.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.